Shalom, sir. I am Daniel Addo from Eduguri, Borno State. So I want you to explain Matthew 19:26. One, Jesus said, no one is good except God. Is Jesus refusing to be God? Jesus said, keep the commandments to have eternal life. Does that mean without the Holy Ghost, you can have eternal life by keeping the commandments? What is the meaning of eternal life? Lawyer. Jesus said, no one is good except God. And Jesus came to show us the way. So that you look away from the man he is and look beyond the man and concentrate on God the Father. That's what he was teaching us there. And then secondly, Jesus said, keep the commandments to have eternal life. Can we read it so that we see the context of that usage? Matthew 19 verse 26. Can we read it? Matthew 19 verse 26. Okay, let's read it from verse 17. From verse 17. Matthew 19 from verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is not good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And the commandment, one of the commandments that will give you eternal life, one of the commandments that will give you eternal life is Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and verse 16. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's one of the commandments. And the scriptures again in Acts chapter 2, if you will have eternal life, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And eternal life is the life of God that has no beginning and has no end. It is eternal. And eternal life is in his Son through his blood. God bless you. I think I've answered that question.
Is it bad to celebrate birthday? Because King Herod, when he was celebrating his birthday, John the Baptist was killed. So is it not scriptural or is it a sin?
So the day you celebrated your own, somebody was killed?
No.
Eh?
No.
He said, the psalmist said that the Lord should teach us to number our days. If you don't celebrate birthday, if you don't mark your birthday, how will you thank God for keeping you alive till then? How will you be counting? How do you know you are 20 years old now? If you didn't mark 1, 2, 3, 4. There's no commandment against it. It's just a reference point. Yes? Again, Mercy, Sister Mercy from United Kingdom. Shalom, Pastor. The answer you gave to that brother about Ananias and Sapphira, that they made heaven. That means if one has the Holy Ghost and are lying and stealing church money, they will still go to heaven. Okay, Sister Mercy, how will you interpret 1 Corinthians chapter 5? This story in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this is the way Apostle Paul put it. No, see the offense. It is reported from verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. What is the offense? What is the sin? That one should have his father's wife. Somebody committed fornication, slept with his own father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. And this was his judgment. Verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, what should you do? To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul knew about eternal security. What happens is that you will lose your reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what we did with the body." All of us will give account, but this time is unto reward. You will not have any reward. The opportunity we have to acquire our reward is the opportunity we have now to serve God, and He will reward us accordingly after the rapture. For we are coming back to earth here to rule on earth with Jesus Christ. And so, when you commit any sin, you have the Holy Ghost, you will die untimely death. He can frustrate you. He will deal with you. He will take away your peace from you. And that is why we say, if you are living in sin and nothing is happening to you to make you stop it, it may be evidence that you have your sonship is in question. For no father will see his son misbehaving and leave him. For whom he loves, he chastens. So it includes even dying. I remember he was making a statement to create fear among the people. And because of it, sinners were afraid to come to church. When you know you commit, you settle with God before you come to church. That was all he wanted to achieve using Ananias and Sapphira. They were genuine seed of God. Just as genuine as that man that went to sleep with his father's wife. So that he will suffer here and die. He will pay for it here. Church, after here, there is no more judgment for us that are born again. Every sin you commit, you will be judged here. Because when we get there, there is no more judgment. You pay for it. That is the mystery of salvation. Let's clap our hands now. It's a mystery of salvation. God is not gambling with salvation. He will not save you today and lose you tomorrow. He knows your tomorrow from today. He knows those who will disappoint me. He will not save them. There are some people that believe they are saved. Meanwhile, they are only assuming they are saved. The evidence that you are saved, number one, you will love God. And it is something that will happen to you that will make you love Him. It is the revelation of your redemption. And then you will fear God. The reason you will fear Him is because whom He loves, He. And when God is dealing with you, who will deliver you? That is why we both love Him and we fear Him. God bless you. From Bayelsa. Shalom, sir. Kindly explain over again in business, scripturally. My local fellowship pastor said it is wrong for a Christian to make over again in business. And he did not tell me the scripture for it. He said I should go and search for it. But can't find any scripture that talks about it. So, Namitokam, go and ask your pastor. If it tells you the scripture says you should not make over again. Yes, in the law, we are taught about balances. It is wrong, to cheat. If it is 1 kilo, make sure it is 1 kilo. KG. In the law, it was wrong. And even morally, it is wrong. If that is what he means, yes. If that is what he means, yes. But when it comes to business, in capitalism, it is the maximization of profit. And it is your ability to market your product, the packaging, and whatever it is. You either package it with your mouth or package it with the container that will determine the price. And you have not seen if the same product, somebody is able to sell it for 2,000 naira and you are able to sell your own for 5,000 naira. Amen. The important thing is that the person was convinced and he paid for it. You didn't steal it from him. God bless you.
Sir, you made me to understand and I believe that if God does something for you, maybe like healing or anything, then he must testify for it to be permanent. Sir, what if you go behind and give thanksgiving on it? No mention it, but God sees your heart, knows that you're giving thanksgiving for that.
That's good. The important thing is because it is unto the Lord, not to the people. But you must have a way of coming back to him to show your appreciation.
Okay. Sarah has a question of that. He's the head of my unit. He challenged me today. I was sick of brain tumor when I took communion.
You were having brain tumor?
Yes, I have brain tumor.
You have?
I had.
You had brain tumor. And what happened?
And I was healed of it. By September, when I took the communion.
When you took communion in the month of September,
yes,
God healed you of the
God
brain tumor. Amen.
So, look now, that was instead of it, my case now, sent the report to my office, and the head of my unit now saw it now. They called me, was asking me, but I had to, I didn't tell them. So I said, no, yes, I don't work, but I don't have to tell them. He said, but why?
So what's your question?
So he's not telling me that, have I given thanksgiving? I said, no, I only testified. He said, no, I should go and give thanksgiving. I want it to be permanent. But I said, but I'm giving thanksgiving and I'm giving what I got to give for testimony.
So you have testified. Testimony is a thanksgiving unto the Lord. You are acknowledging God. That's the important thing.
Yes, I'm afraid. I don't want you to come back again because I know what I passed through.
God bless you. It will not come back in Jesus' name.
I started watching this
Bright TV.
Yes.
Talk to microphone.
Early this month. And I discovered something about the Holy Ghost and water baptism. Although I gave my life to Christ since 2009, but I was not baptized. So, and they used to say that if you are not baptized, there is no way that you can enter heaven. I used to doubt them. I used to say, it's not true. That since you believe and you believe in Jesus.
Talk to microphone so that,
you will go to heaven. So that day you are not saying there was a sister that stood up and the sister said that she had given her life to Christ since 15 years ago. I can't remember that actual date again. But she said 15 years that she has given her life to Christ and she has been working for God in God's house, all those things. And she has not been baptized. And you said that if rapture takes place today now, did she believe that she will go? And she said yes. You now say that no, that she cannot go because she has not been baptized. I was like, how come? But later, and I see that this thing is true. But my question in that place is that now I have not been baptized since all this year that I believe that I've given my life to Christ. And I used to pray to God, and God has been doing things in my life. Where did all those things? Is it not God that is answering my prayer?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many people know this song? Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Blessed in my hand the wonderful King that shall unlock, that set me free. Oh, silently now I wait for thee.
Ready,
my God, thy will to see.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes. Illumine me. When I hear people like you, sincere believers, I see you in the estate that you are in, I get more disturbed to see that there are many men of God who claim to be servants of God that know nothing about the gospel of salvation. You come here, you are seeing us emphasizing water baptism, baptism of the Holy Ghost, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that is the gospel. That is the gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Correct? Mark 16. I mean, just ponder over that scripture again. Ponder Mark 16, 15, verse 15. And verse 16. And he said unto them, go ye, told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen now. I'm reading. He that believeth shall be saved. Eh? Talk to microphone.
Yes, sir.
That's how your pastor is reading it to you. He that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth, what did he say?
Shall be saved.
He that believeth and your pastor omitted that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You believe all these years, were you baptized? So why do you think you are saved? Because he answered your prayer. Do you know why he answers your prayer? The reason he answers your prayer is to confirm to you his reality. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. Do you know why he's allowing miracles everywhere in the name of Jesus? To give reason to judge this world. That there is a Jesus. That there is a God that answers prayers. Amen. You want to say something?
Yes, sir. What about all the work that I've been doing for him? Like,
do you know what Samuel told Saul? Samuel told Saul that obedience
is better than
sacrifice. Another question.
Okay, sir.
Now, do you read in Matthew 16 where Jesus Christ gave Peter the key to the kingdom?
I can't remember.
You don't know the place? Okay, sorry, for the purpose of this girl. Matthew chapter 16. Read it from verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you, my disciples, that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, note it. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What is the key to the kingdom of heaven? A key unlocks a door for you to enter a room. Correct? A key. It was not a literal key he gave. A key is a code that unlocks a door. There is a kingdom for you to enter. There is a door. There is a way you will follow. And this is the way, the door. This is the key to open the door. Where is it? On the day of Pentecost, Peter applied the key. How did he apply the key? Acts chapter 2, from verse 36. He said, therefore, that is the first sermon on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down and the church started. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, it was Peter that spoke, because he was given the key. So he had to open it. That God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Now, when they had this, to know that that man that they killed is their Messiah, they were pricked in their hearts. That is, they were convicted. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter brought out the key. Somebody shout the key. Shout the key. What did he say? Number one, repent. After you repent, go and look for church to join. Say after me. What did he say? Repent. And what is the next thing that follows, sister? Say with your mouth.
Be baptized.
Go on. Read on.
Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Did you repent?
Sir?
Did you repent?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Did you baptize?
I was not. That is why.
For all those sins that you had before. Read it again. Read it again. Screen it, please, quickly for us. Eh? He said, read it again. Repent.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
For what?
For remission of sins.
And what will happen?
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
What is water baptism for? According to this scripture, it's for what?
It's for remission.
Remission of your sins.
Yes.
So, if you have not baptized, are your sins remitted? So you were in your church, sitting down, serving God with your sins upon you, and your pastor was deceiving you that you are going to heaven. When the saints shall march to heaven with Jesus as their leader,
marching along a soldier, the enemy soldier, singing and rejoicing, oh yeah, laughing and shouting. Marching to join the glorious host. blessings of God. Of Calvary,
remove
the stains from God.
In the sea
of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me.
Oh.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Sister, hallelujah. The soul that sinneth shall
die.
The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Is death. You will pay with your life if you continue in sin and your sin is not remitted. And for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, death was our wage. We will pay with our own blood. We will die. But I hear that Savior said,
thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray.
He says,
find
away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. He is our Passover. He said the Bible called up purchase possession of God. He redeemed us with his blood. He purchased us with his blood. Hallelujah. And the ordinance is given. I die with him because he died for me. I am buried with him. That is the ordinance. And as he resurrected, he gave me the hope of resurrection. Death could not hold him captive. He is the resurrection of the life. I resurrect with him. Once you do that, after you have repented, every sin you have ever committed is remitted. That is the doctrine of justification. We are justified through his blood. God bless you. Yes? Which church were you worshiping before you came here?
It's Redeem, sir.
Redeem?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Redeem. You were in Redeem, but you were not redeemed. You may be in Bride Assembly, but you will not be Bride of Jesus Christ. You may be in Celestial Church and yet remain terrestrial. You may be a mountain of fire, yet you are walking on the ground here. It's true now. You may be in the assemblies of God, and God may not know you. Oh, yes. That's the truth. The name of your church or where you worship does not matter. What matters is your relationship with God. Remember, I said your relationship with God. There is a queen. And there is a concubine. I say it again. It depends on your relationship with God. Ishmael and Isaac had the same father. Okay. Jacob and Esau had the same father, the same mother. Okay. So it depends on your relationship. Who are you? That is what matters. It's not because you pray and God answer you. If Isaac is hungry, he goes to God and goes to Abraham. Abraham will give him food. If the children of the concubine, Keturah and Co., come to him, the same he will give because it's their papa. But there's a child of promise. I said there's a child of promise. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say you should baptize so that you become our member.
You understand? You have said that before.
Because some people will think that I want to make you my member. We have gone beyond that. We are preaching heaven, not church. Praise the Lord. We are taking people to heaven, not taking people to Brother Assembly Church. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be
saved.
Saved from both the powers of darkness that disturb us. Because he positions you to possess your possession. Why? We overcome by the blood. Our overcoming power is by the blood. For when you come to Christ, you come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That blood can never lose its power. He shouted on the cross, "It is finished." Declare my freedom, therefore I cannot be in bondage again. No demon husband, no ancestral curse, nothing. I will face it and possess my possession. You shall be saved from what again? There is a destruction that is coming upon this world. The only people that will be saved, that's why Jesus is our Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, they are to take that lamb and kill it and apply the blood in the lintels. This time, you are to apply that blood in your heart. And when I see the blood, applied, and the only application of that blood is the life that came out of that blood. And it comes to your heart and it transforms you. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise the Lord. Any other person, this world is soon going to receive fire. Fire will burn and destroy. After we are gone, then the whole world will know. They are laughing at us now. Sister, they are laughing at you now. Okay. And the rest of the world. Oh, my loving brother. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Hey.
Rock of ages.
My sister.
Oh, my loving sister. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, left for me.
Yes.
My last question now is that about Catholic Church. When you ask somebody, when somebody asks you that, which church are you going to? Maybe they say Catholic Church. They will be somehow.
It's not only Catholic.
Are they not serving God?
I say it's not only Catholic. There are some people, when they ask you, say you are going to redeem, they'll say, There are some people, if you say, which church they go, say, they go Brother Assembly, they say, That place where they know the green woman wear trousers. That church where they know they allow women paint their face like masquerade. That church where they pass or they curse people where they carry cocaine, they bring offering. So it's every church. If you don't belong there, you speak against it. Thank you. Yes?
My question is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven." So my question is this: why the Lord is blessing the Paul in spirit, why his children don't even like Paul, either spiritual or physically? That is my question.
Sorry, your question again. Why is God doing what?
Blessing Paul in spirit.
Blessing poor in the spirit.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yes.
While his children don't even like either physical poor or spiritual poor. That is my question.
While his children are what?
Why his children don't like spiritual poverty and physically poverty?
Okay, his children don't like poverty. And he's saying that blessed are the poor in the spirit.
Yes.
And what did he say is the result of that poverty? Blessed are the poor in the spirit. What will happen?
Therefore, there is the kingdom of heaven.
There is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you say you are poor in the spirit, what you are saying is that you have looked at your life spiritually and you have seen that you have not met the standard of the requirement of God. Because if you read further, in chapter 7, he says, is it chapter 6? He said, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Is there any human being here that can be perfect? And then, by the time you look at God's standard of acceptability, brother, are you listening? By the time you look at God's standard of acceptability by him, and you look at it and you will soon see your inadequacy. That is the poverty. And until you are able to see that you are inadequate, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as working with God is concerned, that is a state of poverty. It is only a poor man that will pray to have something he wants. Then it is in that estate that you begin to seek God. And they are the ones that will see the kingdom of heaven. They are the ones that will enter the kingdom of heaven. They are the ones that will enjoy walking with God. Not like the Pharisees who will come and then pray and begin to say, I fast how many times? I pray how many times? I am a preacher. I am this. Those ones, pride has taken you already and God has no work to do in you again. He told the Pharisees, he said, if you say you see, therefore there is no need to open your eyes again. But if you were blind, then you will have needed somebody to open your eyes. And the truth is that they were blind. He called them blind Pharisees, but their eyes were physically open. Spiritually, they were blind. Blind in the sense that the scripture foretold of those days. And the days were fulfilled before them, and they could not recognize it. So that made them blind. There are requirements from God that you're unable to meet. That makes you poor in the spirit. God bless you. Let me hear you.
Daddy, good evening, sir.
God bless you too.
I don't know which one to start from, but let me start with, I don't know myself. I used to have this, will I call it a ministering spirit or whatever. Whenever my spirit tells me something, I refuse to do it. Something terrible might happen. So I just, for example, 2007,
you have to compress your question.
Okay,
you have to ask a question.
Okay,
but if you are looking for counseling, you can find time and see me.
All right, sir. All right. Okay, let me leave that one. I want to ask this question from Psalm 34. From verse 8, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Sure.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I don't know. I just want to ask these questions. Why some people really trust God, hope in him for everything. Why is that? Some people is still serving God really in earnest, and they are progressing. Why some are not? And this Bible is saying that praise the Lord. And you see, a man that really trusts in God cannot be able to feed the family, pay the fees of the children, and pay the rent. It's somehow, I don't know.
Let me quickly tell you that I cannot make a doctrine of that, because that is not the testimony of the generality of believers. It is because of such situation that God gives the edifying ministry among the fivefold ministry and among the body gifts. The fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4 and the body gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These gifts are there for edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, he that prophesy will prophesy unto comfort, unto edification, unto exhortation. Why? Why is Jesus Christ called, the Holy Ghost called, the comforter? There will be no comforter until there will be frustration. It is part of the Christian journey. Always remember that all things work together for good. The Bible says so. To them who love God and to them who are the called according to God's purpose. And depending on your purpose, the purpose why God called you must be fulfilled. But sometimes the pathway you will follow to fulfill your purpose, God may not reveal it to you. And sometimes you look as if he has forsaken you. And I have so many examples in the Bible. I have the story of Joseph. Imagine what he suffered. It will look as if God had offended him. God also uses trials to strengthen our faith. In Romans chapter 5, let's read it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. Is it Romans 6, 5 or 5, 6? Chapter 5, verse 6.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For when
go upward to verse 3. And not only so, but he said what? We glory in tribulations also. This is the purpose. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? It will train you to have patience. Verse 4. And the patience will make you graduate to have experience. And because of the experiences you have, then you have a hope. So you don't give up, because you have been trained to wait on the Lord. And so many more examples I can give you. Always note that God will fulfill his purpose. He answers prayers. And that's why I say some of these things we need personal counseling. Sometimes you're undergoing a problem because of disobedience. Sometimes you're undergoing a problem because of ignorance. And sometimes you're undergoing a problem because of your sin. Because of so many reasons, you undergo one problem or the other. But sure, it will also work out God's purpose in your life. So we don't give up. But I want you to note that our relationship with God is not for what he will give us. For there is something better that he has prepared for us. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Apostle Paul said it. Neither has he entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. Praise the Lord. So, one of these days, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. He said, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These songs are songs for people who have asked that same kind of question. That every sincere Christian who believes in sincerely serving God yet facing up and down frustration. You know, he says, God, any river you think are uncrossable,
God, any mountain you can tunnel through. God specializing in the impossible, and he will do what no other can do.
He will do it. He said, when that day is dark
before you,
and the clouds are hanging,
there is one who
Jesus is watching over us.
Everywhere that you may go, Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one.
Let him have his way.
Just because he loves you so.
We need the revelation to walk with God. If not, Satan will use our condition and frustrate us. Hallelujah. And that's why that songwriter sings again. But until then, my
heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I carry on. Until that day, my heart be all that sinking. Until that day, that comes me home.
My heart shall sing when life was to remember. Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs, to see what the early Christians went through. We see what they went through. In Revelation chapter 7, they were seen multitudes there, standing dressed in white. And John asked, who are those? He said, they are those who went through great tribulation, suffering, and they have washed their robes with the blood of the Lamb. They will carry somebody, kill them, fed them to lions, carry a pregnant woman, tear her alive before her husband and the whole children. Tear her alive and tell them, will you not deny that Jesus? And they will gladly say, deny him for we are. Kill us also. They gladly submitted themselves to be killed. They will stab lions for days. Come to the arena. Throw them in the center. Children and their family and everybody. Men and women. And release hungry lions to feed on them. What is the reason? Because they are Christians. Even in this our age, when these so-called ISIS people, they went there and saw them, they would do it and put it in the internet, Christians, and line them up, and they were firing them like goats. And they were there rejoicing. Why? They were counting themselves privileged to die for Christ. Hallelujah. And so there's nothing new we are going through. In fact, Apostle Paul said we have not even resisted unto blood yet. Always remember, church, Satan is not interested in your money. Satan is not interested in your marriage. That's why it's frustrating your marriage. That's why it's delaying your marriage. It's not interested in your business. That's why it's frustrating your business, frustrating your education, frustrating your applications, frustrating your documents. All he's doing. Does it disturb unbelievers? It doesn't disturb unbelievers. It is we believers that he disturbs. He's only interested in your faith. If you can deny this Jesus. The day you deny this Jesus, he will return all that he has been frustrating for you. Hallelujah. That's why we are supposed to be overcomers. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 15. Esedo, you said, that's the answer. Give him microphone. Esedo. Eh? Give him microphone. Esedo wants to contribute.
Madam, shalom. This scripture is very beneficial to answer to your question.
Let's read it.
Hebrews chapter 6, 12 to 15.
That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, 14, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. 15, finally. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises.
After he patiently endured. And the Hebrew chapter 11 mentioned about cloud of witnesses. They went through worse situation than we are going through now. And he said, and they didn't even obtain the promise because they will have to wait for us. If they wait for us too, we will follow the ancient landmarks. All that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If you will follow me, what did he say you shall carry? And the cross of Jesus is not the one you hang on the neck, gold color. It's serious, serious rugged cross. And it is an emblem of suffering and shame. On the hills, far away, stood that old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. But the Lord and all we had a pure. church, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Stand up. We'll continue next time.